What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to Sync Music Mondays. Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all know what it is. Y'all know the vibes. Financial literacy with music licensing for your music. Educating musicians how to get their music in TV and film. Because we are music licensing in the coolest form. We appreciate y'all. Shout out to all the listeners, because every week we're looking at the stats. Shout out to Lithuania. Shout out to Nigeria. Shout out to China. Shout out to London. All the places where we're charting. You know, just shout out to all of y'all. We appreciate y'all. And as always, we're going to start off with the word of the day. Something motivational, inspirational to help you get through your week. Right? And this one, I had this gem that I came up with. This was actually last night. So it was something that I wanted to share with y'all. It's pretty fluid, straightforward, to the point. And it goes like this. It says, every villain is a hero in somebody else's story. I'll say that again. Every villain is a hero in somebody else's story. That word of the day is pretty straightforward. A lot of times people often form opinions on people based upon their own experience. But being musicians, being active in this industry, it's always good to meet people for yourself. And then you judge them based upon your own interactions, because every villain is a hero in someone else's story. Someone who had a negative experience with a certain music supervisor or a certain artist might say, hey, that's a terrible person. But someone else who had a great experience, it helped them level up in some way, will say, nah, man, I don't know what they're talking about. They bugging. So it's always important, base your experiences on how you engage people, how you interact with people. And that is the word of the day. All right. But for today, we got a dope, dynamic, phenomenal, inspirational, talented brother in the building, man. This is a cat who I've been building with him, man. You know what I'm saying? He's a great guy. He's got so many accomplishments, man. I mean, we're talking about Netflix, Fortnite, ESPN. I mean, he's even doing like Sync masterclasses, educating musicians. He's paying it forward. This is my guy, my brother, Excalibur Zero. What's up, King?
What's up, man? I appreciate that the intro. It was a really good intro. Thanks for that, man. It's inspirational. I took some notes from that one. That was a good quote.
Yo, that's what's up, bro, man. Look, we appreciate you being here, man. Tapping in, because that's what this platform is about, just paying it forward, educating musicians, man. So once again, thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
Most definitely. I'm a fan of the show, so I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on.
Yo, most definitely, bro. Most definitely, man. So, you know, I kind of gave like a glossed overview, kind of brief about you, but can you tell people in your own words who is Excalibur Zero?
Yeah, I'm a musician who kind of does what you like to do, is pay it forward. I've started making music when I was 14 15, and I'm 32 now. Went to college at Full Sail University for music, getting my bachelor's degree in recording arts. And after I graduated, I got opportunity to do work as an internship for a music library, a music licensing company. And I knew about Sync licensing a little bit, but I just knew after college I wanted to, one, move to California, and two, kind of just figure out a lane with this music stuff. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. So from there, I went to California, moved, started working for this music library for about 7 months unpaid as an intern. At the same time, I was doing like back end admin stuff for them, and then also got an opportunity to compose for them. And then from there, up until about 2020, I worked for them. I was able to quit my job full time, making music for TV shows. I was able to fully support myself based off royalties and the upfront payments I was getting here and there. And the entire time I was, from that point all the way to like back to school, I always had the drive to like teach about music in general, anything. It would be, if I learned a new mixing trick, I was going on YouTube back in 2011 and showing people how to do it. So it kind of translated into what I do now, which is helping people learn about this space. And yeah, it's been a beautiful journey so far.
That's dope, man. That's dope. And I love it, because, you know, it's really motivational, because that's the goal. Like, when we talk about financial literacy, educate musicians on different ways that they can monetize their music, from the actual inception of the piece of music to actually monetizing it. And what does that look like? So I think, you know, kind of to backtrack, because that's super dope. I know we got a lot of 9-to-5 musicians. Well, we like to call them 9-to-5 millionaires, because transitioning from that 9-to-5 and being able to level up and take it to the next level. So describe that experience, because I know a lot of musicians, you know, I've spoken about it before, but a lot of them, they're probably wondering to hear from somebody like yourself, when you made that transition from your 9-to-5 to being a full-time musician, was there a bit of trepidation involved with that? Did you kind of feel like maybe like, ah, man, I'm leaving, I'm walking away from what's stable, quote unquote, to the unknown? Like, walk us through that.
100%. If we're being real, like, that transition is pretty scary, to be honest. Like, if you've never done it before, and it was my first time doing it, and, you know, I was so dependent on that income that was coming in that was from the 9-to-5, that once I made that transition, it was like more so of like, all right, now you're on your own. You got to figure it out. Like, you got to really schedule out your day. You got to really get organized and like really stick to the plan, because there's a lot of ups and downs with it. And, you know, there's parts where it was very hard. Like, I was saving up for a wedding at the same time. So it got really difficult to like manage and maintain, like properly maintain finances at the same time, you know, paying bills and stuff like that. And you get into this weird, I feel like for me, I don't know about other people, but for me, you get into this weird like period where you just get a lot of self-doubt when it's happening too as well. It's like, man, am I going to be able to do this? Like, you don't really know the future. Like, there's nobody guiding you through that entire process and like that consistent income. So I feel like for me, it was more so of maintaining that. And it was a beautiful journey, because like now I'm able to see all that work that I was putting in, like really paid off, and it's gotten even better for myself. But during those moments, it's like, yeah, I have money coming in, but at the same time, like, I have to keep working. I can't just stop, you know, and chill out for a little bit or anything like that. Like, you're still in rotation. You're still having to put in work. And a lot of those, like when you're going through a 9-to-5, what you don't notice in the moments is there may be things that you may not like about your job, or there's things that you love about your job, but a lot of the things that you are doing within your job are lessons for yourself in the future. You're going to learn little things and little tactics. It doesn't matter what type of job you have, you're going to be proficient at it if you do take that transition to go 9-to-5. For me, I was able to do a lot of like the back end work, like I said, with the administration, with like the admin stuff, and I had a boss who kept me on my toes to be very organized with metadata, having everything in an Excel sheet, making sure everything's on the calendar. And I feel like if I didn't have those periods where I was like setting up my boss's calendar or something like that, or setting up the metadata sheets or stuff like that, I would have struggled with that after coming out of, you know, into my full time as a musician, because all that stuff helped me. It helped me stay organized. If I had anything that needed to be taken care of, I was able to go back and just keep myself as a professional in that sense. So yeah, there's a lot of ups and downs with it. It's not easy, but honestly, the risk is fulfilling, very fulfilling.
Yeah, like they say, you know, sometimes the risk is worth the reward, you know, and we all been there, like just on that journey where you finally get to that level, and it's definitely worth it once you're able to kind of pivot and get to that point. And I like one thing that you said too, was like, you didn't have a pessimist mentality while you were at your job. It was like, you utilize certain skills and certain things and you were able to apply them later on. And that's how life is too, a lot of times. It's like, we might be in a certain situation and it is what it is for the moment, not knowing that that moment can prepare us ultimately for what's coming down the road. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So that's dope. That's dope, man. So I want to pivot for a second, brother. I want to ask you, so what would you say is the first placement that stood out to you that you got and you were like, yo, this is actually a thing, like I'm doing it, you know?
So for me, I came into the game kind of like not really understanding that being consistent at a sound really helps you out. I try to do everything. I try to do like a pop indie, or I try to do R&B or hip hop and stuff like that. But once I started working on Real Housewives of Potomac, and I'm from Northern Virginia, kind of close to DC, there's a sound out there called go-go music. So that we got picked up for a show, Real Housewives of Potomac, and I became like the go-to person for that sound, because nobody really understood that sound. It was like everybody trying to make funk, but I understood the sound of go-go, even though I didn't make that, you know, full-time, but I understood how to like how the bounce and swing was supposed to be. So once I started becoming consistent for that show, I feel like that kind of stood out to me as like one of the first things where I'm like, wow, like if you really become almost wall-to-wall to that show, but if you almost become like, I have multiple placements on each episode throughout the, you know, several seasons, and like that to me like stood out the most of my royalty checks. Like, that's when I was like, ah, okay, I need to be really proficient in my strengths and supply and stand out in that sense to these libraries that I'm working with in that style. And I feel like that was one of the big ones at the beginning that like really kind of like separated how this can really work for me. So yeah, I feel like that one for sure.
Dope. Yeah, that's fire. It's like once you get that first win, it's like it's something that motivates you, right? Like they, like intrinsic motivation, being motivated by something, right? Like I remember for myself personally, like self-disclosure, the first time, like when I got my first sync deal, that was 2007. And I didn't even know what it was back then. But all I know is that I had got a placement, a couple of placements. One of them I know was Monster Energy. I also got something with LeBron James. We had Powerade. And all I remember is that I was new to it. I didn't know what it was because I was used to just putting music out on my own. But then I remember when that first check came and I had a check for like, it was like, you know, $8,000 or something like that. Like something ridiculous, right? And I was like, oh, this is a thing, you know? So always kind of just remembering like what that felt like. And, you know, that's just motivation for the artists out there. Like hearing you talk about it, hearing me talk about it, how it's actually something that's real. And you can attain it. You just got to put it to work. You know,
100%.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, I think I want to ask you too, like, in terms of like your musical style, like, how would you describe your style? Like, would you say it's versatile? Are you able to compose different types of sounds and different types of styles, or are there like, you know, is there like a certain lane that you try to kind of stay into where you're that go-to guy for certain shows and stuff like that?
I definitely feel like I could compose different styles. I feel the most confident, I would say, in like hip-hop and R&B. I grew up, like I said, in Virginia, so a lot of my influences were like Pharrell and Timbaland. So a lot of my style is based around, I feel like bounce, there's like a certain bounce that they had. And I feel like I took a lot of time trying to like emulate that feeling, you know, not necessarily copy their exact style, but just the feeling of how their tracks felt. So I try to translate that into anything I really create. So let's say if I'm making like a comedy, a track for a TV show for reality TV, I'll try to influence that with or infuse that with my like hip hop bounce, like that bounce from VA. So I definitely have like a lot of influences too. I feel like I listen to a lot of different types of music. I always search for different styles of music in any genre. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a period where I was listening to like a lot of Deadmau5, which is more electronic, like progressive house. And I felt like it had the chords that he was using in his music felt like it had like almost like an R&B sense to it. So there was a big phase where I was copying like the progressive house style, but mixing it with hip hop and stuff like that. So I feel like with TV now, I'm definitely able to. From the beginning, I was always doing, you know, all different types of styles and stuff like that. And after I became that go-to person, I did hone in on that sound. But I also, you know, I like to have fun with this. I like to be able to create different types of things and not just necessarily be boxed in off a brief every single time. Sometimes I like just to create off the moment that I'm feeling. So I try to make anything that really comes to mind creatively, you know?
Yeah, that's fine. And I think that's a dope part about it too, because a lot of times musicians will ask me, they'll say, well, you know, how do I make songs for sync? And I'm like, well, number one, like, be passionate about what you're doing, be true to yourself. So even in the beginning, I remember like doing songs and, like you said, being very versatile, but I was still making music that I wanted to make, because I think sometimes like if people overthink it and they say, oh, I gotta make a song for TV, then you got this song that sounds mad cheesy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It sounds like trash. Like, I remember I heard a song one time, man, and, you know, the cat asked me, he's like, yo, Kay, what you think about it? I was like, man, this sounds like a bootleg Will Smith song, man. Like, it's horrible, right? But he respected it because
right.
We had that rapport where we could keep it a stack with each other. And I was like, yo, don't do that, man. Don't feel like you gotta, you know, be out here, like, just, you know, forcing it. Like, whatever you do, don't force it. Make it natural, because the biggest records that got placed for me, and I made, like, thousands of dollars off of placements, these were just organic records. I didn't overthink it, you know. So to your point, like, yeah, it's good to be versatile and definitely stay true to yourself. Like, don't try to be something else or try to force a record, because it comes across in the music. People know if it's authentic or if it's just, you know, it's not, you know.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people think that you have to surrender your creative integrity. And I feel like you nailed it right there. Like, you're able to find that space between creating what you love but staying true to yourself at the same time. And I feel like that's the beauty of getting into Sync Live Sync now, because they're kind of filtering out a lot of that cheesy stuff. I feel like before, we had people who not necessarily made their style, like if they're, you know, 70s rock style a musician, they would try to make hip hop, or they're trying to make EDM or whatever, and they were hip to the game before us or before anybody else. But people who are proficient in their genres are now finding a lot of success in that lane, just being able to be that person who makes quality music in your style and not going backwards and trying to water down your music. I think it's very important. So yeah,
without a doubt, I agree with you 110%, bro. 110%. You know, another question I have for you, because, you know, I like your insight, like, you know, how you approach things. I had a lot of musicians ask me this, and I actually did an interview not too long ago where they asked me the same question. How do you feel about AI? I see a lot of people freaking out with this whole artificial intelligence thing. There's concern from some musicians where they feel as if they're basically replacing musicians. They're now able to copy artists' voices. Like, I heard a whole song. I don't know if you heard it. Did you hear the track? It was like Jay-Z. It was a fake Hove joint, but it had, what was the title of this joint, man? I forgot, but it went viral. And when I heard it, I was like, wow, this is like, it sounds just like vintage Hove from like Reasonable Doubt. The cadence, the flows, everything. So they're jacking voices. They're making fake Drake songs featuring The Weeknd. So what's your take on that? Like, what would you say to musicians who they feel like this is problematic given the present landscape?
I think once you think about any event in history, music-wise, there's always been a shift. And the people who have been able to thrive during those shifts are the people who've been able to adapt. And, you know, VST took out real organic instruments for a lot of musicians. People who were able to play organic instruments had less jobs. You know, the DAW came out and transitioned and changed the landscape of the game. But I feel like being able, obviously we're going against computers, but at the same time, like, I feel like humans connect to that authenticity. Like, being able to feel music is a way different experience than just programming certain piano chords that may sound good or certain drum rhythms that may sound good. That's, you know, more computed that way. So I feel like this is an excuse to become an even better musician. Like, this is an excuse to add layers to your music. How do you hear music? Like, really study music, and how are you hearing music that's doing well? How are you hearing music that is great based off the feeling, or great based off the ear candy, or based off maybe a couple of notes that may just be in the second verse later on in the track that only people who really are listening to the track can experience? And I feel like AI is a perfect excuse, one, to learn new skills, because there's a lot of tools that are helpful that will help your workflow a lot, I feel like, with it, but also at the same time, just become a master at your craft. And that's kind of how I envision it. I try not to look at it more so of like, this is possibly going to take my job, because whether if it is or isn't, I have no control over that. At the same time, I can only roll with the tide. And that's what I kind of think about the whole situation with AI.
I love it, man. I love it. Word of the day. That's the second word of the day from Excalibur Zero.
Appreciate that.
That's a whole fact, and that's a whole word, bro. Because at the end of the day, like I always tell people all the time, rejection is God's protection. So if you don't get something, that's a blessing, man. Like, you know, that's just what it is. That means that it's bigger and better. So I don't feel like, and like you said, I don't feel that AI should be a threat to any real musician. Like, if anything, at the end of the day, be confident in your skill set. And be confident that can't nobody block your blessing, right? Like, whatever's meant to be is going to be. Like, I've had so many experiences like that where it's like I've gotten things and gotten big placements, you know, coming down the line for 30 grand, 50 grand here, you know, or some that I got for 5 grand, right? But at the end of the day, it's because those were meant for me, right? No one else could get that. So I think, like you said, to your point, musicians shouldn't worry about things that are out of their control. And ultimately, like, that's wasted, you know, we call it mental real estate, right? Like, that's wasted real estate mentally. Like, you should be occupying your mentality with positive thoughts. We all go through things, there's always obstacles, but try to just think of solutions, being you know, progressive with your thought process, and to your point, being able to harness it. Like, I know a lot of people in the military, they always say you got to learn how to adapt and overcome, because the only constant is change. So whether it be AI, whether it be like the previous things that you mentioned, which are all fact, like, I mean, hell, look, we went from what, we had vinyls, then we had tape cassettes, then we had CDs, then we had MP3. Like, everything is constantly evolving. So there's no sense in bitching about it, complaining, just level up, you know?
100%. And this, man, I'm excited to be on this podcast, man, because I've like I said, I've checked out your content before, and the way you break down things on a deeper level is like little gems. There's a quote that you have that's one of my favorite that I picked up from that interview I told you that I watched with you and Tania Coates. It's a collaboration over competition. And I feel like you just, like, the way that you just break down things after, I'm just dissecting how you're kind of interviewing, and the way that you're asking questions and listening to it, analyzing it, and then breaking it down to these little jewels of wisdom. I appreciate it, man. Like, that's the type of stuff that I'm interested in, that I actually seek out for when I'm looking or watching content. So the fact that you do that, I feel like people can connect with that on a deep level. And all those quotes that you just dropped right now are just like, man, they're running through my head. I'm like, I'm gonna have to keep those later. I appreciate
that's what's up, bro. I appreciate it. And that's what it's about, man. Like, just motivating people to see things in a different way. Because especially with the internet nowadays, it's like, I feel that it's a blessing and it's a curse at the same time, because it could be so overwhelming. And especially for people that are trying to succeed, because I deal with so many musicians every day, and it's like, I find like a lot of them sometimes, like, they get easily defeated, because it's like the internet, you know. And this is one thing that I stress to people: the internet is not real, right? It's like, it's real to a certain extent, but then a lot of things are filtered. So people are not going to show you their challenges. People are not going to show you their losses. They'll heighten up the fact that they got this placement, but they won't highlight the fact they just got rejected or passed over for 10 others, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, we like to level the playing field and give people a holistic view. Like, hey, you're not alone. People miss out on opportunities every day. I remember there was a brief that came down the pipeline for $100,000. I wanted that real bad. You know what I'm saying? But 100%. I didn't get it, you know? So that's just the reality of it. So, you know, sometimes you'll win some, but we never look at anything as a failure. It's just a learning experience. Mm-hmm. And you could flip that into something else. It's like, if you're playing sports and your team might take a loss, but then you analyze it. Why did we lose? You know, maybe we could have did better at bringing up the point. You know, maybe the shooting guard was off this day. But you take that and you use that experience. And that's what we emphasize with this podcast. You know what I'm saying, bro?
100%. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, bro. So I had another question for you, man. Let's see. This is a good question. So, if I know, because you mentioned your musical style, like how you was in the VA, people that influenced you. If you could work with, like, I'm gonna put out five musicians, whether it be rappers, singers, producers, who would be those top five for you that you would like to work with, collaborate with?
Oh man, I think for if we mix it between artists and producers, I would say for sure one of them would have to be, it's hard, like, between, I feel like I'll put both of them in there, Michael Jackson and Prince, just because their love for music was so deep, and like, they were very aware of how creativity flows, where it comes from, and how it flows, and how they have to act on it quickly. And expressing that, like, their amount of perfection they both had for their music is like something that a lot of people won't take the time to do. I admit that I don't put the amount of perfection in one take that they, you know, they would do for like a background vocal or a harmony or something, right? So and they understood like instrumentation just a whole nother level. So I think probably both of them will be on there. I really liked Ryan Leslie growing up. I feel like Ryan Leslie was just super talented and very underrated, and honestly one of the smartest independent business-minded musicians out there. I would have to say this producer from Pittsburgh who has a few major placements. He worked with Drake and stuff like that. His name is Johnny Giuliano. I feel like he had a huge influence on a lot of how hip-hop is sounding today. He was one of the first people that I know of that was bending 808s. Like, there was obviously bass bends and stuff like that with organic instruments, but Johnny Giuliano, the way he bent his 808s and that, how we hear it now, is a huge influence from what he was doing back in like 2008 and 2009. Mm-hmm. And last, this one's hard. I've been paying attention more to songwriting because I'm building my own library now, and a lot of my, how I listen to music is based off the instrumentation and the production and like the ear candy and stuff like that. But now I'm shifting and trying to focus more on lyrics. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm really paying attention to like how musicians like Taylor Swift or like Billie Eilish or Phineas like are kind of creating their music. So I don't know. I feel like one of the pop stars would probably be number five. Okay. Just to be in the studio with them and to see how they, I'd just be a fly on the wall. I don't even need to make music with them. I think I just would want to be on the fly, be a fly on the wall and kind of see how they operate and gotcha. See how I can translate that into my music.
Yeah, yeah, man. You know, and that's really dope because a lot of those artists, like you mentioned as well, like Michael Jackson, Prince, like those cats were like super talented. Like, I remember being in the studio, because when I got my first record deal like years ago, and we were in the studio and I'm getting all these beats, I had like beats from like Bad Boy producers, a lot of Puffy's people, just he just throwing beats at me. And I remember one of the engineers, he just played this raw vocal audio of one of Michael Jackson's acapellas, and it had like no effects on it, no anything. It was just raw, and the guy sounded exactly like a mixed record. Like, his voice was that good. And I remember just sitting there like, wow, man, this is, and this is before like auto-tune, any of that. I'm like, this guy just was naturally talented. So those cats, yeah, like those are definitely up there for me as well. Just to kind of just, you know, it would have been great to just learn from cats like that, and just to be able to see how they do what they do, because they're so like methodical with everything and how they just break down things, like even certain types of pitches and sounds. So yeah, I agree with you, man. Those are some of the greats. Some 100%. Great,
what about you? Who would be on your list if you had them?
Wow, bro. Top five cats, you know, producers or whatever that I would want to work with. Well, one of my favorite rappers of all time, you know, rest in peace, Tupac. That was one of my favorite rappers. Like, I just, Pac, I liked him because he was a real person. A lot of people would criticize him a lot, like, oh, he's a hypocrite. He talk about Dear Mama, then he talk about Hit Him Up. This motherfucker's crazy. But, you know, he made good music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I 100%. Mean, and I like the fact that he hit everything. You know, he could talk about being politically conscious, being woke, but at the same time, he could be vulnerable, talk about things he struggled with. So I like that duality. I like artists that show those different sides. Somebody else that I would like to work with, he doesn't get like a lot of notoriety, but I like him, Fonte from Little Brother. Super talented, man. Like, you know, this cat, he's inspired a lot of people, from Drake, just a lot of rappers, how they put their words together and how he's able to take everyday things, but then like he'll flip it and make it relevant. So Fonte, big shout out to Tay. And three other cats, let me see, just to run it down, I would say, coming from Queens, Nas. You know, that'd be great to one day do a record with Nas. Be phenomenal. One group that I always wanted to work with, and I grew up hearing their music, and that actually came true for me, was the Temptations. That was pretty dope, man, because I wrote that record for their last album, their 60th anniversary album. Had Smokey Robinson on that record too. Universal put it out. Yeah, that was dope, bro.
Big that congrats on that. That's crazy. Yeah. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, man. That was on my bucket list. So that one, I had that one. And then five, another one that I already off, Kid Cudi, my guy. Kid
oh,
Cudi.
Man. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, man. We did our record, Take 'Em High. So that record.
Oh, that's
crazy. Yeah, that blew up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was when I first got my first record deal. So, you know, but we were already friends before then, because we had the same manager at the time. Yeah, man. So that was fire, man. So, I mean, that's my group. You
know? That's a good list right there, for sure. Yeah. All of them. I feel like those are all like just influential.
Yeah, definitely, bro, definitely, man. So yeah, definitely good times, man. You know, you mentioned something, and a light bulb went off, because you know, a lot of artists, they always looking how to get their music out there. So you mentioned that you have your music library, you're getting that situated. Are you looking for artists for that music library, and if so, how can artists that are listening to the show actually submit material? You know, if you're looking for certain types of genres or certain types of artists, like, how could they tap in with you with that?
Yeah, so you can go, the library is called Super Selective, and you can go straight onto my Instagram, super selective, but there's no E at the end of selective, and there's no E after the P in super. I know it's a little bit confusing, but that's the way you can submit to us. That's the best way, because we keep ourselves organized. We have everything tied up on the back end just to keep ourselves organized, but we're looking for all types of music right now. There's no one style that's really dominating the genre right now. We have a lot of different artists and stuff like that have been submitting to us, and we accept all types of music. We're very fresh right now, so very new, just launched a library, so we're welcome to any style, and I would love to hear your music.
Dope, man. And let me ask you this, brother, as far as like the types of agreements that you guys have, are you doing exclusive or non-exclusive? And just, you know, just out of curiosity, if you're not doing one or the other, why did you select one over the other?
We do both. So I come from a background working for libraries and stuff like that, but I've seen how a lot of the business goes down. I see how the contract, I dealt with a lot of contracts and how they're set up. So I know why certain deals are set up the way they are, but I feel like if you're an artist, create, like if you have, if you're an artist and you have a song that you had in your stash for like 5 years and you love and you protect it and you know that it has like a place somewhere, like there's no reason for me to like hound that and keep that and, you know, put it into a perpetuity deal or something like that. So we have non-exclusive and exclusive. It's set up where you get 100% of your writers for the exclusive. We take about 100% of the publishing, but we offer 50% of the publishing. We just own the publishing on the contract 100% just in case we want to self-publish out to other bigger libraries. But we still, from the baseline, at the beginning, we're doing 50% publishing. We'll split it 50-50 and then 50-50 on the upfront. For the exclusive, you keep 100% of your writers and your publishing share, and we split the upfront 50-50. The reason why I did both is just because I feel like I want to keep this as fair as possible for the artist. Obviously, we want to stay above like red line, and we want to make sure that we're a business that can sustain. But at the same time, like I understand how this business is to artists and the creatives in general, even producers. And I want to keep it as fair as possible. So that's how our deal's set up right now.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah. And I, you know, I respect that because like you said, you got certain situations where certain songs were, you know, they could be non-exclusive and some can be exclusive. I've been on both sides of the fence, so I know exactly, you know, how it goes with that. Do you find, well, and this question is for you, throughout your career, have you found that exclusive songs that you submitted, did they perform better as opposed to non-exclusive? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and there's been a lot of like confusion even for me around this topic. Recently, I wanted to I was there in person, but also did a virtual event. It was called PMC for Production Music Libraries, and that question was asked to a music supervisor, like at NBC, like, do you prefer tracks that are owned under exclusive or non-exclusive? And he explained, we prefer exclusive, but it's not a deal breaker. And the reason why is because they don't like going to five different people who have the same track and five different catalogs and try to figure out who's going to undercut who for the best deal for that one track. You know, they rather just have that for production music, for the music that we're making for production libraries. We're not commercial music yet. A lot of the times they want it to be easy cleared, so as easy as possible for them to be able to take that track, place it, have the paperwork already finished and not even thought about, for them to better. So that's kind of the reason why they prefer exclusive. And from my experience, exclusive has always led to more opportunities. But that's not being said that you can't find a lot of success in non-exclusive depending on what type of project you're working on. So I feel like there's benefits to both sides. But for me personally, yeah, I've had more success with exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely, bro. I agree 100%, man. Agree 100%. Another question I wanted to ask you, because we ask people this a lot of times. What would you say was like the most trying part about the music licensing space? I was talking to another guest, and what she had said was that she feels for her, being a musician now, that the hardest part is how the landscape has changed, and there's so many different music libraries and all these things where now, as it used to be, the prices could be a little more competitive, but sometimes it gets a little weird where you have these libraries where it's kind of like a one size fits all. Someone pays like a flat rate for the year that they can download thousands of songs. And she was saying how, you know, back in the days it wasn't like that, and she kind of feels like it kind of undercuts the music. So what's your thoughts on the present landscape? You know,
yeah, I've seen how that kind of shift. I feel like in the middle of that when it was actually shifting into like those Blakehead license deals where they would just pay that one fee for the entire library. And honestly, I feel like what I'm seeing is that a lot of the big libraries are kind of are the pioneers of the space. So really what they're doing, I feel like kind of dictates how everything else is set up. And that's kind of the reason why I started building this, because I wanted to shift the way. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to be one person who shifts the entire landscape, but at the same time, like, I feel like I'm a genuine person. I build genuine connections. And if I can help the people who are surrounded with me in those situations, I feel like it would be good. But I see that it's definitely changed a lot. Like, there's a different standard for music that's accepted, for sure. And two, I feel like musicians are getting a smaller piece of the cut. There's definitely more opportunities, but now people are starting to dip into writer shares. they're taking all your publishing, starting to dip into writer shares, taking all the fees for the blanket licenses, and then they're making these big deals and you're not seeing anything out of the other end of it, especially if you're composing as a producer in a library as opposed to like a sync agent for like artists or something. So that's how I kind of see it shifting. Like, I feel like it's more so leaning towards benefiting the library as opposed to benefiting the whole team.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, bro. And to piggyback off of that, because I've been doing this since 2007. So it's been like 16 years. And I've seen a lot of the changes. Like when I first came, my first sync agent, shout out to Sarah, Jen, and I'm still with them to this day. And I got a couple other agents too that represent me, in addition to having my own company. But I've seen the changes of the landscape and how it's like, you know, it affects the bottom line for some artists, you know. Like I have over 1,000 songs. So I had a couple that just weren't doing anything. So I told my assistant, I'm like, hey, just toss these off into this library over here to see what it does. And at the time, that particular library was new. So I think we got like on the year, it wasn't nothing crazy. For that handful of songs, they gave us like $10,000. Wasn't a lot of money, but I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. But what we noticed was, because it's set up like I was telling you, and like you mentioned, where it's kind of like, you know, just they pay one fee, people download as much as they want. So as that library expanded and got larger, we noticed as time decreased, the payout would decrease and get lower. So to your point, it's true. I noticed that when dealing with sync agents or other bigger companies, the payouts can be better. So I say to artists at the end of the day, you know, do what's best for you. You know, obviously the goal is to make music and to monetize that music. So just keep that in mind as well, that the business has to make sense. If you're giving people a lot of songs, but annually you're not seeing a decent return where you can't really support yourself as an independent musician, then maybe it's time to pivot and start looking at more viable options. And always pay attention to those contractual agreements, because that's critical. If, you know, to your point, if people are using that word perpetuity, okay, well, what are you getting? Because everything is a transaction at the end of the day. This is business. So it's not a one-side deal. You know, I don't want artists to feel as if you have to dim your shine or dim your light or dim your potential to appease these companies that really aren't giving you much at the end of the day. Like, it's great to get your song in a TV show or a movie or, you know, some digital content. But if all you're seeing at the end of the day is something nominal, like $50, I mean, you really got to assess, like, all right, you know, yeah, it's a cool conversational piece for your family at Thanksgiving. Hey, John got the song in the Netflix show, but what'd you get, John? $50 after everybody's cut. It's like, that's a loss, bro.
Right.
You know, so.
100%. So my question to that then is, like, if there's a new artist trying to get into a library, what are some red flags that you would see if they were, like, signing a new agreement? Like, what's something that you would stay away from now that you've established yourself in this space?
Right. So I would say that equity is important. You don't want to ever give up too much, right? So when you see a company that's taking more than they're giving, that's a major red flag. So like you said, perpetuity, right? I'm very leery with that word unless it makes sense. So it's like if we're presented with a contractual agreement, they say, hey, we want these songs in our library for perpetuity. Okay, so that means that in order for me to give up that leverage to you, because perpetuity means for artists that are not too privy to that, that means forever, right? Like, that's forever. So, you know, it is what it is. So you got to make sure that, all right, if I'm going to do that, what are the percentages? Am I getting a high percentage? What's the performance rate of this company too? Like, I think a lot of times artists should utilize Google to the best of their ability. Like, if you're a sync licensing library and you have artists on your roster, I can click that artist tab. I'm doing my R&D, my research and development. I'm going to take the time out to go to everybody's social media outlet or their website, and I want to see how productive you are for these artists. If this is, are these your musicians, then you should be producing for your musicians. What placements have they had? If I'm seeing that these artists that are on your roster only got like one placement in the past 3 years, but yet you want songs in perpetuity, absolutely not. You know, because the math ain't mathing. And these are things that artists can do on their own. You don't need anybody to do it else for you. Do your own R&D, research development, see what's going on. Now, when I look at percentage splits, 50-50 is great. You know, I've seen some things where we've had companies that they try to present a contractual agreement where they're taking the majority of the split. Artists are getting like 40%, like just things where it's like, no, it doesn't make any sense, you know? And I feel that every artist should think of it like that. Like, you are a business. You know, I know a lot of artists don't want to deal with the business side. So a lot of times they get managers, or they get like different people to represent them in that space, but you are a business. So conduct yourself appropriately. Even if you don't understand legal agreements, toss a couple dollars at a decent attorney that can look it over before you sign it, because once you do sign that piece of paper, they're going to hold it to you. Look at the term, right? Terms are important as well. How long do they want to keep you in this term? If I'm dealing with a company for the first time, I don't want to commit to 5 years at the gate. Why? Because it's like a marriage. What's good on Monday might be bad on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? So 100%. It's like, you know, they show you their representative and what they're going to do. And then 2 years deep in the contract, you ain't got a single placement to your name. And your music is just tied up in this agreement. So pay attention to the terms. Pay attention to perpetuity. Pay attention to percentage splits. All those red flags, you know?
100%. Could not agree more with that. And I feel like another point, too, is that we're seeing more people trying to have people pay to submit. And like doing really fishy things. So I say really be careful with that stuff. There's some companies that are like literally are just trying to get money off of you just to pay to submit to them, or not getting any placements at all. So to your point, as well as doing research on that, like just make sure that you just protect yourself in that situation, because there's a lot of companies doing it now.
Yeah, bro. That to me, that's a major red flag too. Like, I don't like that pay to play model. I never did, because at the end of the day, it's like, if, and you know, it's my level of exposure too, because that's how I came in the game with genuinely great people, where it was none of that. It was like, hey, we love your music. We're going to sign you to a deal, 50-50 split. If we get you something, we all get paid. If we don't, nobody gets anything. So my whole thing is, and this is just me personally, it's a bit disingenuous when someone comes and says, hey, well, pay me, $100 a month. And yeah, you might get something, you might not. Absolutely not. You know, like, that's not a fair business arrangement as far as I'm concerned, because it's a bit predatory, right? Like, you're basically like taking advantage of artists that are hungry. They want to get on, they want to be positioned so they can make money in TV and film, and monthly you're charging them, even if you don't get anything for them, you're charging them. Like, that's crazy. It's like, come on. Like, you know, so yeah, I've never been a fan of that model, you know.
100%.
Yeah, it's janky, man. Gets a little spooky out here, bro. Need the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
100%. Wow, bro. Wow, man. But I was gonna say, bro, I see you got the dad gang hat on, man. So can you talk about that, man? Like, being a father, man, how that has affected your life?
Well, man, I feel like ever since a kid, I really didn't know my father too much. I didn't really know him growing up. So being a father to me, even as a kid, was something that I always wanted to be. And, now that I'm a father now, it's like been one of the biggest blessings of my life for sure. It's changed the way I operate. It's changed how I feel about myself, how I want to take care of myself, how I want to take care of them for the rest of their lives and their kids, their lives too. So I feel like being a father, especially as a musician, has like just been one of the biggest influences of my life. Like, just seeing how my daughter grew up, she's 5 now and I have a son who's 6 months, and seeing how she went through those phases, even now, how she even, everything to her is about being curious, and that really relates a lot to creativity. She just has such great idea. Like earlier today, she's taking all her little princesses and she's laying them down on these little beds that she has. And she takes a piece of napkin and she rips these napkins in half, and then she puts it on top of them as a blanket. And that was, to me, it's just so creative the way that she thinks like that. And I feel like I try to implement that in the way that I maybe go outside and just experience life and nature and stuff like that. Just be curious to everything around me still as an adult, because we lose that a lot as we get older. And I feel like that has been one of the biggest influences of my creativity lately, within the last 5 years for sure.
Yeah, that's fire, bro. Yeah, it's true, man. Yeah, my daughter, she just turned 11 years old, and everything you do is for your kids. Like, once you become a parent, like, you become second, your kids are primary. So right. I get it. Like, you know, she'll say things like, because I actually, she says she wanted a job, So I said, all right, so I'm gonna give you a job. I'm gonna let you work for me, right? So right. like I'll have her do like certain things, social media posts, like to automate them or whatever. So, you know, she gets paid on the 30th of every month. So, you know, she's a little low. She'll like tell her friends and stuff. She's like, well, you know, just loan me a couple dollars. I'll pay you back when I get paid on the 30th. Oh, you
know? Yeah. She's learning how it goes already.
Yeah, man. But it's good, man, because it's great to see your kids as they grow, you know, and you're able to teach them fundamental things that maybe we weren't privy to, right? Like, I remember growing up, for me, and I was young, like, I didn't know anything about the stock market or financial literacy for investing, and now she could tell you how Apple or Amazon is performing on the stock market because she knows, right? Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's good because it's like we, as parents, we want our kids to always be better than us,
right?
So and be exposed to more. So it's cool, man. Definitely a good thing, man.
Definitely, yeah. You're still in some good habits. I'm gonna take that advice right there too.
And yeah, you. Man. Yeah, yep. Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely, man. So it's an amazing experience, man. Definitely amazing experience. I wanted to ask you this question too, bro. So as far as mantras, because we're big on mantras here, affirmations, like words have power. We realize that. So what we speak in the universe, it comes back to us, right? It's like it just is what it is. So you mentioned one of mine earlier, collaboration is greater than competition. I love building bridges with like-minded people. Persistence wears down resistance. That's another one of mine. So what would you say is a mantra of yours that has consistently guided you or been with you throughout life? That's one of my alarms here. Yeah, so what would you say, bro?
Mine's by Earl Nightingale, and it's success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. And when he first, I heard that in an audio clip that he has on YouTube, and he's like one of the first people like to start recording these you know, on audio. There's been tons of wisdom back all the way back to, you know, Marcus Aurelius and stuff like that those days, but he actually has recordings of them. And to me, when I first heard that, it was in the transition of me thinking about going full time from being you know, working for someone 9 to 5 to just being on my own. And it was like a seed I planted in my head. And from that point, I still go back to that quote. I have it like right over here. I have the actual book of it where he actually says it too as well. And it just, to me, it's like everything revolves around that. Like I thought something that I could build was worth it. And it was small then. And now it's grown to now, like being able to like have the confidence to be able to build a library. And I feel like that all started from that worthy ideal. Just if you believe in something that you have, like you gotta treat it as a plant or maybe a child or whatever, and just keep nurturing it and watch it grow and give it your attention. It's gonna be good days, it's gonna be bad days, but for me, I feel like that quote has been stuck in my head since I first heard it.
That's amazing, bro. And I like what you said too, where you gotta protect it. And I think that's important for a lot of musicians, because being creatives, we're very inspired, but then a lot of times society often puts these stigmas on us. So whether that be the struggling musician, quote unquote, with guys working at a diner, and then it's like, you know, nighttime, he's hitting the studio trying to make it. So always protect your dreams, because you realize a lot of people, unfortunately, they don't truly support you or get on board until you make it.
Right.
And there's no such thing as an overnight success, because every overnight success story I've knew took at least 10 years. Right? Like there's a lot of work that goes into being successful. Just the art of repetition and doing something over and over and over again until you perfect it. And even at that point, it's never truly perfected, but you evolve from being a novice to a certain level of professionalism where people regard you as a professional based upon your skill set. So ultimately, like that's a major key within itself. Like just protect whatever it is you have. It's your vision. It's your vision and you got to protect it. That's your baby. You got to nurture it. If you want to be successful as a musician, hone your skills, whether you're a singer, rapper, music producer, be the best. Immerse yourself with knowledge. Like we've got so many outlets of information. So make sure that you always just become like a sponge. Like that's what I love to do. Like I just love learning from new people, meeting new people, gaining new experiences, because that's how we get better.
100%. Yeah, they say that you'll never live long enough to make all the mistakes in the world to learn about. Like you got to keep getting wisdom from people who made mistakes that you never made before. And I feel like that's how you grow, for sure. One of the best ways to grow.
Facts, bro. Big facts, man. And I got to tell the people too, man, because you got like a Sync Academy, right? Like where you educate artists and stuff like that. So talk a little bit about that so they can tap in with that as well.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I always had a passion to help musicians and like just along my journey because I was always determined to make something out of this. So I have a blueprint of everything that I've done, everything that I've helped people along the way, from like quitting my job at 2020 to showing people like, hey, this is what I've been doing. This is how I did it. This is why it's like this. This is why it's like that. This is how you operate. And it's turned into this course that I do with this company called Heat. They kind of just run like the back end stuff of it, but I lead the charge and I, you know, we have a community that's been growing and we've been seeing a lot of success from it. And it's been great, man. I honestly, like, it's one of my things I look forward to each week because, like I said, it's a real community. You have so many different musicians with so many different talents. And I'm sure you've seen this along the way while helping people. It's like, there's people out there that are one hungry that actually want to do something with their music. Like they actually have the humility to show up every day and just be a student of the game. And there's two, there's people who are super talented that you believe in. And that's what I've been seeing with this. And just to see how it's been transitioning and showing results for people. And like, and it's not even about like me, it's about just seeing, like just being a little, even if it's just a small snippet that they may have seen of me on Instagram and it helped them along their way. Like that's all I care about is like just giving back to the community and sharing what I've learned. And I'm doing the same thing now with building this library. I'm going to go out, I'm giving away the keys. Like I'm going to show you exactly what I did. I have a notes of myself of what I've been having to do business wise, setting up documents and everything like that. So that's been the process so far with it. And it's been cool.
Dope, man. Well, look, all you musicians out here, you know how to tap into my brother here, man. You know, he's giving y'all the knowledge, man. And that's fire, man. We appreciate that. And I also got to mention, too, big shout out to you, brother, because you will be one of the speakers for the event that we have coming fresh after the new year, Sync Music Success. We've been talking about that to a lot of the musicians. We got like so many dynamic speakers. We got 100%. You. Yeah, we got Jay Nolan. We got Brian Z from part owner of DJ Booth, part owner of Audio Mac. Phenomenal speaker. That's my brother out of the Shy. You know, he's going to be on Tapped In. We got Tamara Bubble. We got my brother Daraz. We got so many people. We got Latin music specialists. I mean, you talk about getting Latin music, whether that be reggaeton, all these different things, and all these major movies and TV shows, they tapped in. We got Eric Campbell. We got so many people. Like, I can't even, like, you know, my brother JS, aka The Best. Like, we got a lot of people tapped in for this event. It's going to be phenomenal. So if y'all haven't got y'all tickets yet, definitely tap in. It's going to be a virtual event. It's going to be fire, man. And we appreciate you tapped in, bro.
No, I appreciate you inviting me. I was hyped when I got added to the roster, I'm not going to lie. So I appreciate being even part of it. I saw that Fingers is on there too as well.
Yeah, you got shout out my guy Fingers, man. Yeah,
I feel like this is the one you need to go to, like, for sure. I feel like there's going to be a lot of good information from a lot of different angles here with this one. So yeah, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Most definitely, bro. Most definitely, man. So for the people that want to connect with you, bro, like, shout out your socials or website, whatever, so they can tap into you. I mean, I'll have the team put your links down below too, but, you know, just shout them out so they know what it is as well.
Yeah, I think they have my name right here in the banner right here. At Excalibur Zero on anything. At Excalibur Zero Sync on YouTube. If you want to get like more information, that's free. That if you don't have the budget or anything for a course, it's perfectly fine. I drop the gems on there as well. I don't gatekeep. So you can go on Instagram. You can find me there. TikTok, Twitter, all that stuff is all at Excalibur Zero. And then the library is at Super Selective, SuperSelective. And that's how you can find me.
That's what's up, man. That's my guy, man. Excalibur Zero. Y'all know what it is, man. Definitely tap it with him, man. Shout out to all of y'all. And as always, like we say all the time, listen, keep winning, keep striving. Much success. Keep winning.